Hey, nice to be here.
Straight from Finland.
Indeed.
Yeah. And gig at Münchenbryggeriet tomorrow.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to ask, what's the deal with Danko Jones and Lions? And what I think about then is, like, the first album was Born a Lion, mm-hmm. and now it's Leo Rising, which can infiltrate to, like, something with Lion as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice way to bookend 12 albums. So this is our 12th album. Just a nice way to revert back to the first album, but it has nothing to do with it. 12 albums, 12 is a nice even number. There's a lot of 12s in the world. And in rock and roll, the next number is 13. It's kind of an important number in rock and roll. Not that we're saving something special for it, but it's just a nice way to bookend, 12 studio albums.
Yeah. I saw the music video Diamond in the Rough, and it's like an homage to Kiss, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we got a Gothenburg Kiss tribute band called Wicked Kisser to basically lip sync the song for us. And then I kind of like popped my head in and I said, if I dress up like a makeshift Phantom of the Park, then we can kind of turn it into like a little bit of a spoof on the Kiss made for TV movie Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. So that's what that video is, kind of.
And Martin Friedman from Megadeth is in the song as well. And I know you collaborated before. He's brought you in for his albums and stuff like that. But how come you wanted to contact him for this song?
Well, I just, like, Marty's two favorite bands are the Ramones and Kiss. And since this song is very reminiscent of early Kiss, I thought he would really dig his heels into this and sink his teeth into the solo. So we collaborated in 2014, but he hadn't been on anything of ours in all this time, like 11 years, waiting for the right song. And we thought this was the right song.
Mm. Speaking of Kiss, it's really left us recently. What has he meant to you during these years?
Oh, I mean, he's 1/4 part of, my favorite band after my band. My band is my favorite band of all time. But after that, it's Kiss. So yeah, he's definitely part of my childhood. And it's a weird thing, I mean, his solo album is my favorite of the four, and his song on Love Gun is my favorite Kiss song. Huh. So I've a lot of fandom for Ace Frehley.
What do you think he is meant to rock and roll in general?
Well, this is interesting because nobody ever really talked about Ace Frehley's contribution to rock and roll until he passed away. I think except outside of the Kiss Army. Okay. I mean, it's been... I think he's done a lot for rock and roll. It's just that I think the rest of rock and roll never bothered to pay attention. And now that he's passed away, everybody's talking about him. For someone like me who grew up with him, I get my back up against the wall about that. It's like, where were you guys like for the last 50 years? I really believe his contribution is heavy when it comes to rock and roll. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go through the list, but just listen to the solo of Shock Me. It's my favorite guitar solo, I think, on a rock song of all time.
Mm. Speaking of guitar solos, you've talked about finding the sound that your air guitar did when you were a kid. Like, doo-doo.
Yeah, sure. I've always said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Will you ever find it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Have I found it already?
Yeah.
I suppose I have. Like, in the moment we're in the studio, the only way we can agree on the guitar sound between me and the producer and the other guys in the band is if it matches the sound in my head. Mm. And I mean, you're in the studio, you're trying to find that the guitar sound. Granted, there's been albums where I've just kind of gone, it's almost there. It's not there. I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, we don't have, 2 weeks to find the guitar tones. Having said that, I would say over the last 5 albums, we found it for sure, but it's in the moment. Then sometimes you listen back and you're like, it's not there. It was almost there, but I thought we had it. And you know, on this record, same thing. I think I captured it, but ask me in 5 years if I did.
Mm. So. I know you're a hockey fan as well.
I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm Canadian, but I'm not a hockey fan.
All right.
I was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I actually wrote to some of the Maple Leafs and they wrote back. So I have a huge fandom for people like Börje Salming and Daryl Sittler. Those were my Leafs for sure. And when I met Salming, I know you haven't asked your question yet, but when I met Börje Salming, I mean, I was 6 years old again.
Yeah, because we've talked about that before. That's why I thought you were still a fan. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you mean a fan? I don't follow the Leafs every season and I don't really follow hockey. But because when I was a kid, I was such a huge hockey fan and such a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I mean, it's never going to go away. If I play a video game, like hockey on a video game, I have to be the Leafs, you know? So it'll always be there. But once I found, when I discovered music, I mean, I left sports behind.
Yeah. But did you trade like hockey cards and stuff like that?
I did. Yeah, yeah. I had all the hockey cards all the way up to a certain age. I remember, I think I was in grade 3.
Yeah.
And I just said to myself, I was on the school bus and I said to my, I think the season had ended or whatever. Someone had won the cup. And then I said to myself, wait a minute. This all gets back to zero when the next season starts. So why is everybody celebrating as if it's the end of the movie? It's not the end of the movie. We all zero back when the next season starts. So I thought the fruitlessness of that was, at least in rock and roll, like when the song ends, it ends. It's great. Wow, that was great. And you can relive that experience. You can't, I don't care if you win the Stanley Cup. You might not win it the next year. You might not be able to relive that. So no thanks. I'm going to go for the cheap, easy hit. And that is rock music.
But did you just discard the cards or did you sell them?
Oh, that's a good question. My mom threw them out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my mom did the same actually. Yeah. And now they're worth a bunch.
Yeah. I think I had the when the Edmonton Oilers joined the NHL from the WHA, I had Gretzky's card.
Oh, wow.
That thing's worth, I think, like, last I checked, like $500 to $700.
Yeah.
My mom just went in the garbage.
But you've sold your collection of vinyls now, right? Most of it.
Yeah, three quarters of it. Yeah.
But you saved some special ones.
Yeah, I just say, and I'll just buy the ones I've been looking for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It's few and far between. But yeah, I've kept, like, you know, I've got a few hundred that I, you know, the sentimental value.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I got rid of it. Got rid of most.
What's one of your favorites that you saved and why?
Oh God, I can't even remember.
That's most sentimental to you, so to speak. Not the greatest album.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I can't even, I'm drawing a blank because I can't even remember. I know we're at Rock Classicer, but I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan. They're my top five favorite bands of all time. So I have a lot of 12 inches. So there's some rare 12 inches I have of the Beastie Boys. I have a John Spencer Blues Explosion rare album. I think John Spencer's playing tonight. I have a reverse Willie Horton that I paid off of eBay. And then I have like a lot of kitsch records. So a lot of records like from TV stars and movie stars who put out records that nobody wants to listen to, but I buy them. And then I had all these like other kitsch records, like How to Do Karate.
Oh, really?
On vinyl. Yeah. or a guide to rattlesnakes. So I have a record about rattlesnakes.
Wow.
Yeah, that stuff. <funny. laughs> Or How to Read Palms. That's the kind of stuff that I started to buy records in, like those kinds of records.
Yeah.
And so I rarely buy music records. When even at the end, I wasn't really buying music records, except if you're on the list of records that I've been looking for years. Like I was looking on Discogs the other day for a record that I was like, you know what? I've been looking for that record for years. I thought it was a promo, and let me see if I can find it. And it was like 60, the average price for it was $60. So I was like, I think when I get home, I'm going to buy it, try to buy it. So even though I've sold my, most of my collection, what I'm going to continue to buy are the records I've been looking for years.
And next year you're celebrating 30 years.
Indeed. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Did you actually had that in mind yourself, or what, was it someone who asked you about it?
Oh, I kind of know, like 2020, we started our band in 1996. So, you know, it's, we're, I don't think, I mean, we're already in November. We're like a month and a half away from the 30 year mark. And we haven't even talked about what we're going to do, because we're not going to do anything. I don't, I hope. Like okay. we, when we hit 25 years, we talked about it, and we were going to, I think we did a few things, like, you know, kind of harken back, but nobody gave a shit. And neither did we.
Oh.
I don't like to consider ourselves a band that like looks backwards in the rear view. There's a lot of bands who do this now, is where they play the album that, you know, kind of put them on the map, and they go on tour of, and more power to them. We've never had an album like that to begin with, but I don't really want to do that, because that's resting on your laurels, and it's kind of an admittance that you're done. And we still have a good 20 studio albums to put out.
Yeah, but on the contrary, it's a great success to be able to be in the business for 30 years.
Yeah, I think so too.
So it's celebration either way.
It took us 5 years to put out our first album, and now we're not stopping.
How was the work with this album?
I mean, we did it all remotely. We kind of, you know, last night in Helsinki was the first show of the tour, and we played a song for the first time at soundcheck. We'd never played it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you the song, but there is a video for it that's already been released, and we've never played the song together, ever. And so, yeah, we pulled it off, I think.
Oh.
I mean, we pulled it off in soundcheck. I remembered all the lyrics at soundcheck and then forgot about a quarter of them at the show, but nobody caught on. So we were able to get through it. That's usually how new songs get played now. We play them live on stage for the first time.
Yeah, awesome. You were also this summer at Sweden Rock Festival, and you were a guest of mine and Nicky Boy's podcast called Minnesluckan, where Nicky, we're talking a lot about memories he had with you. But now I'm thinking you can have your vengeance here on the spot to talk a little bit about Nicky Boy stuff that you remember.
All right. So is this the part of the show? This is the part of the show where we bust on Nicky?
Yeah, exactly.
Or could I rename it as Nicky Boy gets fired from Rock Classicer? No. What do you want to know?
I don't know. Whatever you got.
No, I can't. I can't say some tales on the air.
Okay.
What do you want to know about Nicky Borg that I know? What do you want me to tell you?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I will say this. Like, the tour we did with the Backyard Babies in 01 was the most memorable tour we've ever been on. I mean, I still think about that tour. And there's been tours that we've done since that I've completely forgotten. I can't even tell you one thing about them. But the Backyard Babies tour that we did in 01, opening up for the Backyard Babies, I'll never forget. It was insane.
What was so special about it?
Well, I mean, the stories I could tell you on the air. It was our first real big European tour where we were going to play in front of real audiences and not like, you know, the 40 or 50 people that had heard of us. These were like, you know, real rock audiences, and the Backyard Babies allowed us to play in front of them. So I'll always be grateful to them for that. That always. And also by the end of the tour, we were like, it was one band. We were all on this tour together. There wasn't a thing where it was like, no, you're in the opening band. You're over here, and we're the headlining band. We're over here. We were all like one gang. And, I remember I felt the feeling when there was a third band who was put on the tour for about 3 or 4 dates. And like, we were all a gang, you know, there was, I remember this one time, this opening band who just stuck, they were just stuck on the tour for like three or four dates. They ate the food in the backstage like the Backyard Babies were even got to the club. And man, like it was us against everyone else. That's the feeling I got while we were on the tour with them. So it was a really, really nice tour to be on, and they treated us great.
Yeah.
And we're still friends to this day. I was just texting with Dragan before I got on my flight to Helsinki. So yeah, it still remains.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you're playing München Brigadette, as I told you. There's tickets left to buy if they want to go in there, because I know you will knock him down as you usually do. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Hej, Ulf Kristersson här. Snart är det val i Sverige, och även för dig som bor utomlands spelar valet roll. Vi moderater har sänkt sinkskatten för utlandssvenskar och vill göra det enklare att flytta hem. Använd din röst, för vi behöver fortsätta framåt mot ett Sverige som du kan vara stolt över.
Detta är ett politiskt reklammeddelande från Moderaterna angående riksdagsvalet. Mer information på bauermedia.se/politik.